The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after the Epiphany is from 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord, "Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." Now when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and he came and stood before him. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, the 12th chapter. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 8th chapter. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you believe. And the servant was healed at that very moment. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God and Father, our God and Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In the name of Jesus, we meditate upon the scriptures you have just heard this day. Those scriptures reveal to us the connection between sin, suffering, sorrow, and illness. Yes, and even death. We see in those readings three different people who cry out to the Savior from three different ways. One did not even know that he was crying out to the Word that would later become incarnate in the flesh. And yet that word was given to him, and he was tempted to despise it, to reject it, to think it could not accomplish what God intended. The second leper, as it were, came from a little bit different perspective. He was beside himself. There was nothing that he could do. He could not show himself to the priest, for his leprosy was still revealed in his body that was gradually decaying unto death. So he cries out to the incarnate Word and said, Jesus, if you will, you can heal me. The third man, a kind of unexpected man to encounter in this place, was a centurion, a Roman centurion, a Gentile, if you will, one who understood authority. And his understanding of authority from his own vocation certainly led him to understand that this person called Jesus was God in the flesh. And he says, Jesus, can you help me? Jesus says, well, of course, I will come to your house. He said, there is no need for that. I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. But do what people in authority do. Say the word, and my servant will be healed. And so it is, and so it was. And what of you? Let us review now these three men as they walk before God and see how that fits in your life. The first, of course, is Naaman, the Syrian, bold, proud, man of valor, great strength. God had, through him, humbled his own called people. Now Naaman finds himself with an illness. He finds himself with leprosy. It was the worst possible disease one could have at this time. It ate away the body and took away the will to live. Naaman desired to live. He receives God's word from Elisha, But he cannot heed that word. He is expecting something else, something spectacular. Well, for certain, he says, I thought the prophet would come out and wave his hand over the place. He wanted a show. He wanted a bit of a circus. But God doesn't play with circuses and shows. He plays with the still small voice, as he revealed to Elisha's predecessor, Elijah. So Naaman says, I thought surely he would come out to me and fix this problem. You see, Naaman wanted a God that met his expectations. A God that worked the way Naaman thought he should work. He wanted to know God as he thought God should be. And he wanted God's help in the way that he thought God should help. He wanted God to cooperate in the manner that he, Naaman, thought best. Perhaps this might be your issue with God as well. How you answer the questions asked is important because your life needs to receive healing. You too are beset with a painful sin, the sin of our forefathers Adam and our foremother Eve, that sin that leads to separation, wrath, and death. It is important for you to receive this healing, to be reconnected to God, or you can have no life. God not only heals bodies with his word, but souls as well. The leprosy of sin is the dreaded disease possessed by each and every one of us. And the Lord reaches out to touch and heal us in the same way he does in the text, through his word. What was it, you might ask yourself, that made the leprosy disappear from Naaman and the man in the gospel? Was it the power of Elisha, the water of the Jordan River, the expectations of Naaman? No, in Naaman's case, I think he was probably right. The Jordan River at this time of the year would have been muddy and filled with silt. And he was right in his assessment that there were cleaner waters in Syria. But that wasn't the point, was it? It was the word of God that cleansed Naaman from his leprosy. God's word connected with a visible sign so Naaman could later return and say, I know that you are the only true God. But here is where the real issue surfaces. Here is where Satan would again imprison you and me by putting your word and my word, your expectation and my expectation above God's word. You believe that word of God, except that small little bit where your sin is hidden, or where the current cultural aberration pecks at you from around, that which appeals to your flesh. And so you too want a different word. You believe his word except that part about the law that pinches in your life, except that part about the dead will be raised. That's unreasonable. Or bread and wine are the body and blood of Christ, or water in the Jordan River, or water into wine, or blood for the forgiveness of sins. But he was a mere man. So I ask you this day, where is your Jordan River? Did you note the healing in the gospel text? The leper comes and prostrates himself at the feet of Jesus. He worships him, showing his respect for the authority of the incarnate word. Jesus confronts the leper, the ravaged creature of the law, whom the law could only exclude from the people of God, and does what the law cannot do. He reaches out with his hand and touches. He cleanses the leper of the disease and restores him to the people of God. Merely being in the proximity of the leper, according to Jewish law, would separate and isolate Jesus. But he touches him, even as he touched the coffin of the son of the woman of Nain, taking into his body the uncleanness, the sin, the death, and the leprosy, and giving life and strength and health in its place. And he does all this with a word. He says, I will. Be clean. And a touch of his hand, the leper is cleansed. The leper was thrust out from the people of God, not by an arbitrary whim of Jewish piety, but by the law itself. Jesus does what the law forbade. He touched the leper. But he overrides the law, that the law's intention might be fulfilled, that God's restoring grace might triumph in the life of sin and death. You have heard me say that the leprosy of sin is the dreaded disease possessed by all. But there is one more way, and that is the way of the centurion. The centurion who understands that God's word, because it is God's word, does what it says. And so it is for you this morning. You heard from this altar, in front of this pavement of the altar, that very word of God, I forgive you all your sins. And you heard it at the font in your baptism, be washed, be clean, your sin is forgiven. And you hear it from this table, when to your mouth and upon your lips is given that body and that blood for the forgiveness of your sin. Do you see how the Lord reaches out and touches you to heal you? He cleanses you with water that does not stop washing. He washes you again and again through contrition and repentance. He touches you with his hand of holy absolution. To those who come as unworthy in their own right, he reaches out the hand that says, I truly forgive you all your sin. He speaks a word that says, the Lord has put away your sin. You will not die. And to those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, he freely gives food that restores and refreshes both body and soul. But there is something more that he does. You heard it in the epistle for today. Live this way among yourselves. Live the Christ life. And how can you do that? You who are still beset by sin, even as am I. You can do that because Christ and his living word now dwells in you. He freely gives food that refreshes both body and soul, all because the word causes it to be so. That is what you must learn from these lepers and from the centurion, to trust that when the word is God's word or the word incarnate, then it is so. Today's reading continues to reveal Jesus, the Word made flesh, to be both the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Whether you hear that Word of God from a handmaid, or from the pastor, from your spouse, or from your neighbor, it does not matter. It is God's Word. And God hides himself in little things, but his Word is still powerful, no matter whose voice he uses, so long as it is his word. The in-flesh word Jesus gives to his church. He says, make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says to you, as the Father hath sent me, even so I send you. Whosoever sins you forgive according to your vocation, they are forgiven. It is at the wedding of Cana that you heard last Sunday, where Jesus provides the wine that gladdens and leads you to hear Jesus say, take, eat, this is my body, take, drink of my blood. All is done by the word. All those who live in faith become those who express the needs of the neighbor before God's throne of grace. First, you come here as beggars for your own needs. Then you become a supplicant, filled with Christ for the needs of the neighbor. In order to receive the word of God, one needs to be converted. This conversion is not your work. It is the work of the Holy Spirit through the word. In order to receive the word of God, Naaman had to be converted. Naaman rejected the word of God because he believed in himself. The benefits of cleansing offered to Naaman in the water of the Jordan River were not received at first because he refused to repent of his unbelief and believe in the promise of the word. Then it was that Naaman's servants admonished him to look at the promises in the word, and not to himself, that he might receive the offer given him in the very word of God himself. So long as Naaman held to his own word, his own pride, his faith in himself, the word and promises of God did him no good. It was the word of God from the prophet through his servant, and later through the servant, that brought Naaman to faith and moved him to go into the water and receive what God had therein promised. You have been made priests of God. You are part of the royal priesthood. What do priests do? Priests in the Old Covenant and the New do three things. The priests in the Old Covenant made sacrifice. They interceded for themselves and they interceded for the neighbor. And in this way, you too are priests of God. Present your body as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, for that is your reasonable service, Paul admonishes. Pray for the neighbor. And this you must do, dearly beloved, especially the unbelieving neighbor, because the unbelieving neighbor cannot pray or will not pray for himself. And so you, the body of Christ, must pray. And third, you must speak to the neighbor about God when opportunity presents. This is your calling as God's children. First, Christ sacrifices himself for you so that you may serve him. First, you are served, and then you become the sacrifice. In Jesus, the simplicity of God's grace is revealed. So dearly loved of God, come as beggars to be healed and fed by God in both body and soul. Thus healed, go forth from this place as a living sacrifice to serve God and the neighbor through Jesus Christ your Lord, for so has he spoken. He has spoken to you in his word, the word that becomes flesh and dwells among you in word and sacrament to heal, to cure, to sustain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.